Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Tree Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Today, I'm actually going to begin the episode with quite the weird recommendation. So, DC Comics is currently doing this strange little crossover with Looney Tunes with its characters. Jonah Hex meets Yosemite Sam, Lobo meets Roadrunner, and Wonder Woman meets Tasmanian Devil, just to name a couple. But none of these collaborations light a candle to the most unlikely of crossovers, Batman and Elmer Fudd. The story is dark as hell, with Fudd wanting to kill Bruce Wayne due to Bugs putting the blame on him for the death of his girlfriend. It's all presented in this noir-like fashion, but with the monologue in Fudd's lispy mannerisms. So it's both dark and really funny. You don't know whether to laugh or stare at the comic with gaping jaw. Now, I don't want to spoil anything because it'll ruin the surprises in store for those who read it, but there's tons of great Easter eggs, nods to certain characters, and, in all honesty, one of the best Batman stories in years. At the very least, it's the most unique one in recent memory. So if you've got a comic book store nearby, I highly recommend grabbing yourself a copy of this strange yet brilliant crossover of Batman and Elmer Fudd. With that being said, let's start today's show. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with the band called Icon Girls Pistol, whom, despite their name, lack any members with double X chromosomes. Now, well, here's a track from their singles 2010 to 2011 collection. It's called Shiren no Shitajiki, Crushed Beneath the Wheels. We'll be right back.
ていた場所が凍る。君は錬金術師、計算に狂いはないと言うけど、数字は簡単に反対のマイナスにだってなるんだぜ。優秀な愛欲の潤滑油、その裏番組でお前の歯車たちは朝さ一番にお前が乗るレベルだ。ノーワイヤーを立つ車輪に惹かれた、どんな奴らか奴らが。
punk classic. That was The Blue Hearts with Machi from their iconic 1987 subtitled debut album. That particular record would be listed at number 3 in Rolling Stone Japan's list of greatest Japanese rock albums of all time. The band broke up back in 1995, but I feel it's high time they got back together. They're older, wiser, and I'm sure they can put their differences aside, even for just one more show. Come on. Get it together, man. Get it together. Get it together. You know, folks, it feels like ages ago, where if you wanted an anime to be released in America, you'd have to wait months, maybe even years, for it to be licensed. In actuality, it was probably around the year 2009 when things changed, as that's when Crunchyroll became legit and Funimation was streaming Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood 4 days after an episode had aired in Japan, which was a really big deal back then. Now, the likes of Funimation, Sentai Filmworks, Viz Media, and Aniplex of America are announcing licenses weeks before they even hit the airwaves, sometimes with an English dub of a series being released on its Japanese air date. It's a means to make sure everyone outside of Japan gets a chance to see the show, beating the likes of pirates and fansubbers and giving the audience what they want practically immediately. So, it really pisses me off when I hear anime fans moan and bitch about not being able to watch a show solely because of who licensed it. As you know, we've got a bigger anime streaming base with Crunchyroll, Anime Strike, the new H-Dive that's replacing Anime Network, and even the likes of Netflix and Hulu, although the former seems to take their sweet-ass time releasing anime they've licensed, i.e. Little Witch Academia, which the first half was finally released this past weekend, and as soon as I'm done recording this show, I'm fucking marathoning the crap out of it. I get it. Some people have a subscription to one service and not to another. I can understand that. With the cost of cable, Wi-Fi, and these subscription services, it's easy to see why it's expensive to have every form of entertainment in the palm of your hand. However, don't completely write off a series just because the company you preferred didn't get the license. It's a business of all things. Some make a good deal and another comes in and makes a better one. It's competitive, but not as cutthroat as maybe Marvel and DC tend to be. Hell, an anime series technically doesn't compete with anything, mainly because there's rarely an anime that's airing that's similar to another one that's running at the same time. It's not like here in the US where there are so many reality TV shows and cop dramas and quirky family comedies that are nearly the same fucking programming. And that really doesn't exist in Japanese anime or even manga, because each property has something unique that makes it stand out from all the other series out there. But getting back to the subject at hand. Yes, it can suck sometimes when you find it hard to watch an anime you've been looking forward to due to how it's being streamed. We still go through this all the time with the likes of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. However, the right thing to do is to do your best to support the show however you can, even if you can't watch it right away. Or if you have an awesome friend, like I do, you can ask to see if they're willing to share a Crunchyroll or VRV or Anime Strike with you and split the difference in the cost. I used to do that with Netflix with our old friend Bluonic back in the day. So please do yourselves a favor and stop bitching when someone other than your favorite company nabs a show you're looking forward to. Remember, it could be worse. It took 2 years for Ouran High School Host Club to be released in the U.S. Haruhi Suzumiya took almost that long, too. My Bride is a Mermaid took nearly 3 years to come out on home video here in the U.S. And there are still anime from almost a decade ago that I'm still waiting on a license for. Nagasarante Ironento, Kame no Meigai, Nodame Kantabao, Kiron Kazuko Nikki, The Daughter of 20 Faces. The list goes on, a great anime that still hasn't even been released in the U.S. at all. So be glad we live in a time where we can get our anime almost instantly, even if it may be tough to catch where it's airing. Let's spin something from our 2015 Album of the Year pick, The Most Lamentable Tragedy, from the true kings of the New Jersey Parkway, Titus Andronicus. I have a reason for playing them in this week's episode, which I will reveal in the next segment. This is the manic depressive anthem known as No Future Part 4, No Future Triumphant.
My face, and I hate to be awake.
その指示す光継ぎはぎだらけの譜面にそっと口づけしよう君がいるなら行けるのさくるくる踊る転がり回る音の上交わる奏でる歌う砂の踊る声
To Shout with their recent single Noise. The band, of course, is the main focus of the spring anime series Anonymous Noise, which can be streamed on Anime Strike thanks to Sentai Filmworks. So if you've been following me on Twitter at kingbaby.esh, you'll notice that I've become obsessed with the music of this series. After all, I'm an anime and music critic, so it combines two of my specialties. Most of the time, when an anime band has really good rock music, it's usually because their songs had already existed beforehand. Beck Mongolian Chop Squad had Beat Crusaders, Nana had both Anasuchiya and Olivia, and The Rolling Girls, which is kind of music-based, had the Blue Hearts, which you heard just a couple songs ago. Now, when an anime has original songs to coincide with its animated rock band, it's usually not that great. K-On!'s was okay, Show by Rock was below average, and Supersonica was just straight up dog shit. A recent exception had to have been Fuka, which had an okay story but some pretty great songs via The Fallen Moon. So when Anonymous Noise was announced, I was intrigued but hesitant. After all, their track record for anime rock bands doing actual rock songs wasn't great, as I just mentioned. Fortunately, Anime Boston held the show's world premiere, so naturally I went to check it out. When the character of Nino took over the vocal duties in the school band and just simply started to let loose, my jaw hit the floor. The way she was roaring through the song Spiral instantly reminded me of Damien Abraham of Fucked Up. And this was the first time I ever heard a Japanese female vocalist in an anime perform like that. And I instantly dug what Anonymous Noise was going to bring to the anime music table. The person who plays Nino, Sari Hayami, is known for playing more cutesy characters and even did the voice of Koyuki, the pop idol in Fuka. But this was on a level I had never expected to come out of her. Later on in Anonymous Noise, they do the song Canary, which the character of Nino performs live after being pushed away by Momo at her audition. And Hayami takes that pain her character's feeling and goes full berserker on the track. That time around, I compared her vocal stylings to that of Patrick Stickles of Titus Andronicus. See, that's the reason why I played them just a moment ago. The way Stickles put his emotions and struggles with manic depression into some of the finest modern-day punk anthems is exactly how Hayami conveys her performance as the emotionally distraught Nino when she is in her Alice persona. Again, fantastic track. However, the song you just heard, Noise, I actually got choked up when I first listened to it. As you may be well aware, one of my favorite Japanese bands ever was Bloodthirsty Butchers, whose frontman Hideki Yoshimura passed away a few years back. Since then, the band's been on hiatus, possibly to never return again. The sound that Yoshimura brought to the table was unlike anything in the alt-rock world, rivaling the likes of Sonic Youth, Red Cross, and even Screaming Trees. So, when he died, I thought his sound would leave this world of ours too. For an anime like Anonymous Noise, and a band within said anime like In No Hurry to Shout, to bring this particular sound of Yoshimura's back to the realm of the living was mind-boggling. In fact, whenever I listen to that song and I'm singing it in my head rather than out loud, I hear Yoshimura's voice clearly. It is that scary how close noise sounds to the work of bloodthirsty butchers. In fact, I'd even go so far as say it defies a lot of musical logic. Like, every time I listen to that song Noise, my brain tries to trick me and say, hey, it's a new Bloodthirsty Butchers track. No, it's not. It's a fucking anime band. And they actually nail it out of the ballpark. But you know what? Rock and roll can sometimes pull the impossible. And in this case, the anime Anonymous Noise and its cartoon band, In No Hurry to Shout, does just that. In my honest opinion, Noise is probably the best song I've heard all year long. Even factoring all the other albums I've reviewed on the website and all the other records I've listened to the past year, no other song I've heard from those records has compared to just this sonic wave, the sonic boom that Noise has brought to the table, that this anime rock band that doesn't exist has made and crafted. It's just fucking amazing. And I'm just baffled that it kind of reminds me of back in 2006 when the Melancholy Heart of Suzumiya was airing and Haruhi does the song God Knows. And that time, that was like the most amazing thing I heard in an anime. In fact, that was like my favorite track of 2006 was when Aya Hirano did God Knows. So it's kind of like this again. An anime band has brought forth the best song of 2017 thus far. Which is why, in closing, I know this is kind of like a rant sort of thing, a crazy rant, but I need to get this out into the open so it doesn't just keep bothering me in the background, you know? I feel like I need to say thank you to the people who made the music for Anonymous Noise. The original manga author, Ryoko Fukuyama, anime series writer, Deko Akao, and composer, Narasaki. These three people may have just unwittingly brought forth the greatest animated rock band since Gorillaz. And let me just say that I think it'd be a wasted opportunity if you don't continue to keep In No Hurry to Shout alive past the anime, the upcoming live-action movie, and maybe even the manga. I think I speak for everyone who watched this series when I say I hope they bring this band to life on stage. Have Hayami dress up like Alice, get the backing band to look like Yuzu, Kuro, and Haruyoshi, and go full throttle with a live show that matches the intensity the anime version has. I know that's a big hope to have, but I'm crossing my fingers as hard as I can to see it come to fruition. At any rate, I'm glad to have watched Anonymous Noise. I am maybe reading the manga sometime soon so I could continue on the story. And I hope we can expect more from the world of Nino and In No Hurry to Shout sometime in the near future. Remember, this is my opinion. This is coming from my own personal taste. Like, it's hard for me to truly describe, but I can't help but like pick out bands like Fucked Up and Titus Andronicus and Bloodthirsty Butchers when I'm hearing this group in this anime, In No Hurry to Shout. It just reminds me so much of them. You may listen to these bands and may not find comparisons, or you might. That's why I'm kind of doing this right now, spending all these different bands that I'm comparing In No Hurry to Shout to. Which is why, just so you can hear what I'm talking about regarding in the song Noise, I'm going to spin something from Bloodthirsty Butchers. And this comes close to the sound that I was just talking about. From banging the drum, this is Sanza.
Sanzan omoi furui tatasu, sanzan hozui o tsuite. seen a dignity within you, possessed by a chosen few. I look to the sky, I pray to the stars, that you might reveal who you are. Took my place at the altar, took my seat at the bar. I want it said by. Don't have the heart to tell you now.
Heavy Blinkers with Gentle Strength from their 2004 album, The Night and I Are Still So Young. On August 1st, this album will be getting a special vinyl re-release via Canada's label Obscura, which you can pre-order right now on their Bandcamp page. The other day, I was reading an article about the J-pop duo known as Claris, or Clarius, I think it's Claris. I've heard some of their stuff from time to time, but I don't think I've ever played one of their songs on our show before, although that may change with their contribution to Ero Manga Sensei and the video game Akiba's Beat, because those are some pretty great songs. Anyways, the thing about Claris is that the identities of both Clara and Karen, and even former member Alice, have been kept secret. Pictures of the duo are usually drawn, and when they perform live, they usually hide their faces with elaborate masks. It's a nice gimmick, giving them the opportunity to be able to do their own thing in the real world without anyone knowing that they're big pop stars. So this article was making a huge buzz about the identities of Clara and Karen nearly being revealed, which turns out, as I was prepping for this episode, this particular piece was reported on nearly 2 years ago, so I don't know why I just stumbled upon it just now. But they weren't ever revealed, with their anonymity still intact. However, it then brought to mind the recent unmasking of the band Ghost due to a lawsuit brought on by former band members, which kills the mystery and almost ruins the band's allure. Because here's the thing. Sometimes keeping things mysterious in a band helps to make being part of the fandom all the more fun. Like, back when Slipknot was just starting out, it was awesome not knowing who was really behind the masks and what they looked like. Then Corey Taylor started Stone Sour, revealed his face, and almost ruined the coolness factor of the band had it not been for the excellent Volume 3, The Subliminal Verses record. The same goes for Kiss, who went makeupless throughout most of the 80s and half of the 90s, almost kind of tarnishing the badassery that the band built up on throughout the 70s. Then again, they had to try to do disco with their Dynasty album, so they were almost ruined already with that. Artists with a hidden mystery behind their actual appearance add something to them, like backstories and legends and mythos. No one knows what MF Doom looks like behind the mask, Buckethead's identity still remains a mystery, and nobody can guess who the commie band that back Baby Metal are without their makeup. Because that's the thing that makes being a fan of these artists fun. The guessing game aspect. That, and they make great music for all of us to enjoy. If you want to talk about secret band identities, then keep the guessing to your friends and maybe even online fan forums. Don't try to ruin it for the whole planet. Don't try to, like, sell information off to some fucking tabloid and tell them, oh, here's who they really are. No, keep it a mystery. Because if all things are revealed, then they may no longer want to perform. Think of it as like the code of the luchador wrestler. They stay masked throughout their entire careers, and they take it off when it's time to hang up the shorts for good. It could very well be the same for these artists. So if you like Claris or Buckethead or MF Doom, cross your fingers that the true identity never gets revealed. Otherwise, it could very well spell the end of your favorite mystery musician. Here's a rock band that goes by the name The King Ogs, which takes its name from the Amorite King of Bashan that was slain by Moses at the Battle of Edrei. A little theology lesson for all of you there. From the album Turkey Gold, this is Rosario.
Rosario, 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 Rosario. Rosario, 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 Rosario. La sentaida wa owarai, chuchu na shinbou wa ruretto ni. I wanna more jump, going, going on black to Saturday. Memuri no naka omou yo emotion. Going, going on black to Saturday. Memuri no naka. Rosario, 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 Rosario. Akai no soi mayu ga hiraku chuchu miseru aijou monogatari. Rosario, 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 Rosario. Monbran muki no shita ni wa chuchu tatta hitotsu dake no shinjitsu. Emotion, going, going on Black Saturday. 眠りの中思うよ emotion, going.
また畳泣かれる星屑眺めて憂う心ここにあらずとも僕は傷んだふりして吐き出すさあの空より遠く光るよゆらゆら瞬く間に消えて救われることなき日々も
EP Hokkai Amplifier. That was Asian Kung Fu Generation with Sunday, an EP that got a vinyl re-release a couple years back. Asian Kung Fu Generation have a new Blu-ray coming out this September that celebrates the band's 20th anniversary, recorded at the world-famous Budokan. So as we had mentioned both in a segment here on No Borders No Race and on Wicked Anime, there was a story involving a penguin at the Tobo Zoo in Japan. This particular Antarctic bird, named Grapecoon, had found himself obsessed with a cardboard cutout of Hululu, the Humboldt penguin from the hit anime Kimono Friends. He'd give it food, do a mating dance for it, and would just often spend all day staring at it. It's actually the most adorable thing you can imagine happening at a zoo involving 2D waifus. Now, a lot of people who were following the story were wondering what was going to happen once Tobo Zoo ended the Kimono Friends promotion, as some feared for the well-being of this penguin if it had been taken out. Well, after the promotion had ended, people went over to the penguin sanctuary to see that Grapecoon still had his Hululu waiting on that tall rock for him. The zoo decided to keep it for the sake of this penguin, who was at the age of 20, the usual life expectancy for penguins in the wild. And I have to say, good on you, Tobo Zoo. I can imagine that due to Grapecoon's age, that taking Hululu out would have probably killed him. I know bunnies can die from a broken heart, so maybe penguins can too. Hopefully we won't have to find out if you take out that cutout. And anyway, we got a happy ending from this strange and wonderful tale. Now, Incidentally, there's supposedly going to be more episodes of Kimono Friends somewhere down the line. I'm guessing maybe early next year. So part of me is kind of hoping that the creators of the show pay tribute to Grave Kun and bring him to the anime realm. Yeah, I know that all the characters in Kimono Friends are female, but I'm sure they can make just this tiny little exception for this elderly, innocent penguin. Hell, I'm sure even the looniest of fans, you know, the ones who flip the fuck out when their imaginative ship doesn't come to fruition, will be glad to see Grape Coon meet with Hululu in the next season of Kimono Friends. At any rate, here's to the concept of waifu love in the animal kingdom. I know, who'da thunk? Incidentally, you can catch Kimono Friends on Crunchyroll, which I highly recommend for viewers of all ages. Once you get past the weird CGI, you'll find a great show that even the youngest of anime fans can truly enjoy. You know, so long as they can read subtitles. Perhaps Crunchyroll can do an English dub for it for the sake of the young kids. So long as it's a decent dub. One that doesn't talk down to its viewers like most PBS kids cartoons. At any rate, give Kimono Friends a watch. For the sake of Grape Coon and his waifu. Right, let's get back to some music. From Atlanta, Georgia, here's an up-and-comer that goes by the name Parsons Rocket Project. Their debut self-titled mini-album will be hitting stores on August 11th, and we're going to be spinning its opening track. This is Exit Launch.
人々が行き交う街で
Track from Noisy Cell, that was Days from their new EP Pieces, their second EP in less than a year after dropping Colors last October. Somehow that escaped my radar, but the Japanese music realm is large and vast, so I'm sure to miss a release or two once in a great while. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/OmMysteryInc. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from the Heavy Blinkers and Parsons Rocket Project made by Shameless Promotion PR, and the music from Icon Girls Pistol and the King of Ogs were made possible by Tom Molesky. Thank you once again for sending down these wonderful artists for us to spin on our show. Today we're going to end this week's program with the recent end theme to the anime hit My Hero Academia. The show was an honorable mention on our top 10 anime of 2016 list, but season 2 has pushed it up to such a legendary status. Seriously, go and check it out on Funimation, Crunchyroll, and VRV. And I'm almost certain it's going to come to Toonami sometime soon. Here are Little Glee Monster with Dakara Hitori Janai. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.